Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You guys excited about that? All right. I couldn't tell from the back. It didn't sound like, woo! It sounded like, woo. All right. Well, hopefully today, yeah, we're going to work on the woo. We got a woo. I know one sister in here is wooing. Mary Joy. Is Mary Joy in the house? And she could say, woo! Mary Joy went steady last week with Lee Weatherby from Dallas, Texas. I got it right. Amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? You too can go steady in the kingdom of God. God is a good God, isn't he? You know, 2 weeks ago, I spoke about transformation. I spoke about there being evidence in our lives of the transformation that's going on. You know, when I was coming up with the sermon today, I had so many thoughts and ideas. I'm like, okay, what does the church need to hear? And I'm sure for every guy that speaks, we always ask God, okay, God, what do you want your children to hear? I had a couple of ideas and some different sermon titles, and one of my titles was, why is this popcorn taking so long? Why is this popcorn taking so long? Now, don't worry, I'm not here to talk about popcorn. I'm here to talk about how God is preparing us for our next step. The actual title of my sermon is Being Prepared by God. So why do I bring up popcorn? Don't get hungry. It's not lunchtime yet. I bring up popcorn is because think about cooking popcorn. For some of you guys who have cooked popcorn on the stove, the few of us that have it, man, it takes about 10 minutes and tastes a lot better. It takes about 10 minutes to pop. Not very much of a long period of time, right? So 10 minutes was too long, so what did they do? They invented microwave popcorn, which will kill you in the end, but that's another sermon. To me, the microwave popcorn is an example of how impatient we are as a society. We don't want it then, we want it now. A comedian talked about that he was driving by and he saw an express Taco Bell. Okay, let that sink in for a second. Express Taco Bell. How long have you waited for your Taco Bell? They have those jokers on the fly, don't they? I mean, they have real quick. I mean, his joke was they're going to have to put them in a launcher and you just drive by, say your order, and as you're driving by, they're shooting them in your mouth. You know, that's the only express that you could go. We want things fast. We want them now. Coffee. I love coffee. Who likes coffee? Amen.
Amen.
Coffee takes about 5 minutes to brew in a regular percolator, but we want instant. We want to take some hot water, throw it in there, and have our cup of coffee now. Why? Because we got places to go. We got people to see, even down here in the South. In the North, I mean, it's on fast forward, baby. We don't take nothing slow. It's got to be go. Let's go. You in my way. Get out my way. It's the three, excuse me, rule. Excuse me. Get out my way. Stop looking at tall buildings. I got to go to work. Funny, right? I like that. Look at the people in traffic. I mean, not anyone in here. God forbid anyone in here would struggle with road rage. Nobody, I know. I'm speaking to them, to those people out there. They got to go to work so bad, they're so eager to get to work that they flip you all types of birds. They have all this filth and flarn out their mouth that you have to decipher, and it's crazy. Why? Because we want instant. Traffic in Atlanta is not instant, is it? But let's talk spiritual for a second. Well, hopefully for longer than a second. Think about some of your prayers. Think about some of the things that bring you anxiety and stress. What are the questions that fill your prayers? Why don't I have that job that I want yet? Why haven't I gotten that new house yet? The new car? Why am I not being used by God more? Why hasn't God changed my spouse's character yet? God might have answered that prayer already. Why am I still single? We got some single people in the house? You know, it's not just the single ministry. Y'all single too. Teens, guess what? You're single. Okay, anyway. I'm just letting you know. I know you may. Why? This is a kicker. Ready? Why aren't my children Christians yet? These are just some of the areas where we struggle. And we show our lack of faith in God. You know, we wonder, why hasn't God moved yet? I want what's good. I'm not asking for a BMW. And I wouldn't want to ask the number of hands who've asked that prayer. But maybe you have. Romans 8:28. We've been reading that a lot, haven't we? We've been camped out on this scripture, and I think we really focus on the first part. Romans 8:28, when you're there, say amen. That's enough. And we know that in all, you got to catch up, y'all. Remember, instant, now. You got the right one preaching this sermon, let me let you know. All right. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Let's read it again. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, we read this over and over again, and it's a very good reason, because this is a promise. Are you relying on the promises of God in your life right now? When bad comes in, when indifferent comes in, when depression comes in, do you stand on God's promises and said, I will rest on this? But see, the second part, I don't think that we really think about a lot. It said, who have been called according to whose purpose? To his purpose. See, we're quick to think about the first part. Well, he's working in all things. I got a flat tire. He's working in that. I got an extra bill in the mail. Amen. He's working on that. And please, do we really think that? Most of the time we don't. But on our good days, we might think that, but we forget about the other part. It's according to his purpose. Not our will or desires. Ouch! That's the scripture. Don't blame me. It's about him and about what he wants to accomplish in your life. Jeremiah 29:11. We know that scripture well again. It turned there. It's good. The good thing about reading the verses over and over again is we finally get them eventually. Amen? You know, God doesn't promise that he will work out things according to our will or desires, but according to his purpose. If someone asks you today, what is God's purpose for you, would you be able to have an answer? When God has a purpose, he has a plan to get you there. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Do you know what the plans of God are for you in your life? I don't. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. And if you do, praise God, let's talk at the church. You might help me to figure some stuff out. But all I know is I need to stand in the promise of today and what he's telling me to do today. Oh, let me not go ahead. I'm sorry. See, I read this before, so I know where I'm doing, where I'm going. See, he says that he will work to prosper and not harm you. God wants to have a future in him. It's not about having a future in our own lives. It's a future in him. The first part, I believe, is for all of his children to have a relationship with him. This is his number one priority. So let me say something to you that are studying the Bible. Praise God. Continue to study. But get some urgency, because tomorrow is not promised. If you are not studying the Bible and this is your first time, welcome. We take the Bible very seriously in our church, because we believe that God takes it very serious. These are the words of God. I encourage you, as soon as possible, I would say today, get into the Bible with someone who can help you. Amen? You know, God commands us to be obedient to him. And where do we find that? In the Bible. He will not use us if we're not obedient to him. Look over in Romans 6:16. Romans Romans 6:16. Paul says here, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. If we want to be used by God, we must be slaves to obedience. What does that lead to? Righteousness. God cannot use us if we're not being righteous. Now, righteousness is not perfection, because if perfection was the deal, there would be nobody up here. The only thing we could do for a sermon is play the Bible on audio and just sit here, because no one would be able to be up here to speak his word, right? So I am not assuming to be anything more than anyone else. But one thing I know for myself is I am trying my hardest to be an obedient slave to righteousness. That means a lot of things to different people, but for us, we need to have a lot of similarities, don't we? We need to have the same kind of standard. We kind of have to live life very similar to one another. And that was just a thought I had. It wasn't really in my notes. But yeah, that's another sermon. I'll save that for another day. We need to learn to trust that God is truly preparing us for his next step. This sermon is being prepared by God. Prepared for what? I don't know. That's not the point of this sermon. The point is that you are being prepared. And you have to have that conviction that God is not just ignoring you, but he is preparing you. You know, as we wait on God to move, we often are impatient and don't trust that he is truly working on our behalf. We feel that maybe he forgot about us. Maybe we're not that significant. Maybe our part in the body is that crusty toe on the left side that kind of leans a little bit. I got one of those toes. I'm not going to show you. I should have put that one in. Hilarious. But it hangs a little bit. It's like, ooh, Lord, what's up? I might be that toe in the body of Christ. But guess what? Without that little funky toe, you'd walk with a limp or a gimp. You need the little toe. Be happy to be the little toe. Amen? We need to be secure that we're part of the body. We allow doubt and fear to replace our faith and trust. We allow doubt and fear to replace our faith and trust. And guess what? When we do that, we stop God's plan for our life. God's plan completely stops. Because God needs what for us for it to work? Faith. Our participation in it. He's not just going to pull you along. He won't. God is preparing us for his purpose. And that's what we need to be focused on. Not saying, God, get in will with my focus. Father, let me get in will with your plan for me. And guess what? All types of stuff is going to happen. Guess what? Because we're in his plan. I have 2 points about that this morning. My first, that was just in the introduction, y'all. My first point is wait patiently on God. And half of us cringe in our seats. Why? Because we don't do patient very well, do we? I would say I was being generous with half. I think 98% of us, and there's a couple of us that, you know, need to get fired up. I'm just saying. We need to maybe lean on the other side, but that's just an observation. How are you when God's making you wait? What do you do? What is your posture? How do you look towards God? That wasn't a home video of my son. It kind of looked like him when he was young. But he never acted like that. Anyway, you can all rib him after church about that. If you didn't catch it, the kid was waiting to get on a tractor, on a lawnmower. And the truth was, he was going to get his ride. But how did he wait? He didn't. He was screaming and picking his nose and running and falling and acting the fool. Why? Because he was being impatient. And let me ask you a question. Did that get his parents to throw the other kid off the tractor quicker and pick him up? I honestly think that it made the parents wait even longer. As long as these parents are around, that's what we would have done. Oh, really? You keep on acting like that. But notice, towards the end, the kid started getting his right attitude. He started smiling a little bit, started laughing a little bit, and then the tractor came to a halt, and he got the ride that he was always going to get. Guess what? If God said it's for you, you're going to get it no matter what anybody does about it. So why are we bugging out? Why are we, God, I want it now. And he said, really? That has not yet worked for one of my children. You think it's going to work for you? If you want a different result, you got to do a different thing. So if you struggle with patience, now let me let you know, the reason I study this out, because I struggle with patience. I am that instant type of dude. Let's go. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I studied piano for a week. I couldn't play like Mozart in a week. I said, man, this is bupkis. I can't do this. This teacher's horrible. I can't do this. It was my lack of patience. And now at 41, if I had did that, I would have been able to kill it. Yeah. But now I can't even touch it. Dang, dang. But that's how we are spiritually, isn't it? Imagine if you were patient a few years ago, where you would be today spiritually. Think about that for a second. See, by being prepared by God, we need to wait patiently on him. You know, we need to realize that the ride is coming. What he set for us is coming. It's ours. He already set it aside for us. We don't have to worry about it, that it's someone else's. So there's no reason to fear. All that was an immature person's showing fear. Like, I'm not going to get what I really want. But God's like, you're going to get it when I say it's time for you to get it. You know, one of the things I thought about, I was like, man, okay, God, why aren't you doing this? God, why aren't you doing that? You know what he said? In my mind, I don't know if he actually said it, but maybe you're not ready for it. That if I gave it to you, you'd mess it up. Think about giving, you know, fine jewelry to a 6-year-old daughter. Oh, no. I heard somebody say, oh, no. Why? Because those string of pearls are going to be, you know, marbles in a minute. You know what I'm saying? Oh, these are cute. Who got the big one? It's about giving a nice car to a high school student. Oh, no. Because they're going to hit something. You kind of write that off right when you give it to them. That's why we give them a junker. Because if you hit it, it's just one step away from going there anyway. So praise God. It is what it is. Let me ask you a question. Are you waiting on God or is God waiting on you? I know when I got that one, I was like, oh, Lord, help me. I can't handle it. Your man has never been able to rush God. God is that perfect parent that when you cry to him, he just kind of looks at you like, that's not doing nothing to me. And that's what I tell my kids. When they're like, I'm like, oh, that's just making me wait longer. When they start crying and all that kind of stuff, that's not working on me. I'm going to give it to you when you're ready for it and not a second before. Look over in Isaiah 64, verse 4. Isaiah 64, verse 4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You heard that? Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait on him. Now, if we look at the Bible as being a book of promises and principles, when we read this, what does it teach us? It teaches us that if we wait on him, he will act on our behalf. Does that encourage you? I could hardly contain myself when I was writing the sermon. I'm like, God, I want you to work. He's just like, wait on me. I'm like, but I can't. I got ADD. You gave it to me. I want to blame him. But he's like, I gave it to you and you can handle it. Stay still and just wait for me. I got you. If we want God to act on our behalf, we need to wait patiently on him. God's timing is perfect. Look over in Psalm 37, verse 1. You guys getting something from this? Amen. I'm telling you, you want to preach? Study some stuff out and go preach. Don't preach unless you got conviction on it. That's what I'm saying. One thing Richard used to always say, I used to love it. He would say, man, if you ain't got nothing to say, sit down and let somebody else get up there that got something to say. That applies to us when we're at work. That applies to us when we're at school, too. That applies to us when we're talking to our families, amen? We need to have something in our hearts that comes out of our mouths so that we can affect people. Amen? That is God's will for us. If I know you know that, but that's what it is. That's one of them anyway. But check out Psalm 37, verse 1. It says, do not fret. Say that together. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious for those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's the part we really like. Now, this is the part we don't like. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. That's a promise right there. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and what? Wait patiently on him. Do not fret. There it is again. When people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Man, do you hear the reverence as David writes this? He has reverent patience. You know, he wrote this psalm while he was running from his enemies. While Saul was trying to take his life, he's over here saying, don't fret. Don't fret what? You coming at me with a knife or a gun or something, I'm fretting. I'm going to be nothing but frets. That's what my name will be, frets. Why? Because you got a gun. But back then, he had a spear and a whole bunch of other dudes that had spears too. And he was so at peace with God that he could call us and say, don't fret. If I, who has an army on my back, don't need to fret, what you got to fret about? You know, fret is just another word for worry, right? Do you trust God as you're waiting for him? I dare say if you're fretting and if you're worried about the next step, that you need to check your faith. I'm preaching to the choir, y'all. That's where I'm at right now, just trying, okay, God, I want to see you move here. I want to see you do this. Why are we waiting, God? Okay, we got to go. God's like, calm down, man. You're going to give yourself a heart attack. This is my war, not your war. These are my people, not your people. Calm down. Now, I do believe there's a place for us to have a little zeal, amen? There is a place for us to get excited about the work of God, but that's not what fretting is. That's being excited to do the work. Fretting is worrying. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for what tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of his own. So if Jesus tells you not to worry, you shouldn't worry. And what do? We worry. We do the opposite of what the Creator told us not to do. That is called not living in faith. But praise God, we are a work in progress. And every day out of studying stuff like this out. Now, I'm just giving you the tip. I'm just letting you taste it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's like going to a restaurant tasting. They don't give you a whole plate. They just give you a little sample. Because they want you to taste that sample and say, oh, I want to come back and eat. Well, God wants you to taste the sample and now go home and study for yourself. Amen. You need to do the work and put this stuff into practice. Here's the thing. Waiting on God patiently does not mean staying still. Oh, man. Waiting on God patiently does not mean standing still. It means to work the plan that he has already revealed to you in the moment. Oh, my goodness. How freeing is that? That we don't have to worry or fret about what's the next step. We just have to be excellent in the step where we're at. Oh, my goodness. That's so liberating. Because we could be worrying about stuff that is not our worry at all. And God's like, that's not righteous. I didn't tell you to do that. Do what I told you, and that's righteous. The other stuff is you being silly. And when you're in the hospital with ulcers, don't blame me. When the people that you're trying to help turn around and slap you in your face and tell you to leave you alone, don't blame me because I told you to take this step now and walk in this step. I didn't tell you to worry about the one before or the one ahead. Just find out here, right here. I could do right here. I can't do that. I don't know what's over there. And I can't control what's back here. But right here, I like it right here. Because right here, I can control. Amen? My second point, and I got to go. My second point is go in the strength that you have. You know, if God is preparing us for something, he's going to strengthen us to do it. How unfair would it be for you to tell somebody to go do something and you know they couldn't do it? It's like me telling, you know, I'm going to pick up my son again. Telling my son, go pick up, you know, that 50-pound weight and bring it over here. He'd be like, huh? You crazy? Now, in a couple years, he's going to be like, here you go, and throw it at me. But he's not there now. That's not his now. That's his next step. He hasn't worked out yet to get there. He'll get there. Don't worry, boy. You get there. And God is looking for us to go to the next step. But why are you worried about the next step when you're in this step? Go in the strength you have. Isn't that encouraging? That God cannot expect me to do more than I could do with the strength he's already given me. Now, if he hasn't given me the strength, he can't expect me to do it because you haven't given to me. But if he has, he expects you to use it. Judges 6:14. Just write this down. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel. Not that big of a deal, right? Just go save a whole nation out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? God is telling us all this morning, hello, I'm sending you. So get out your own head. Get out your own way. Stop saying you can't when I've given you the strength and I told you you can. So many times we tell ourselves we can't, and God already says, I already told you you can. It's where our faith is. And we're not going to the next step. He hasn't revealed the next step. Guess what? Because we can't handle it yet. But guess what? When we go into his purpose and recognize it's his game, guess what? He will reveal the next step. And then you just do what? Faithfully live there for a minute. And then you wait for the next instruction and the next instruction. And you keep on stepping until you one day see him face to face. That's encouraging to me. We don't have to live in fret. We don't have to live in worry. We don't have to lift, oh, what's the next step, God? We need to be excited about that next step. But should we enjoy the trip? I think so many times the disciples were so worried about saving the whole world that we're not enjoying the one study we're in. We're not enjoying the building of the relationships that we're in right now. Going to the movies. One of the guys that I'm helping with the Bible texted me the other day and said, man, let's go to the gym together. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it, but the Bible says to share your life and doctrine with people. Amen? Man, if you're just studying the Bible with somebody, you're going to create in them a religious person. They need to be eating your food. They need to be hanging out with you. They need to let you see, you need to let them see your life amongst your children, amongst your spouse, amongst your single household, whatever it is, so they get to meet you. Sin and all. So that one day they can disciple you on something. And they can share something with you. And you're like, oh, Lord, you're using not Christians to help me. Oh, yes, he will. Are you ready for that? That might be your next step. Let's look over in Isaiah 40. Well, I know I've gone over a few minutes, but I've been really good on time lately, so I'm just going to keep on going. I'm sorry. I just got a couple more. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Here he comes. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings on eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Who up in here needs a double portion of some of that right there? Oh, you better raise your hand. You people, no, yes, you do. If you don't recognize where you're at, I'm sorry. I'm just here to let you know what the Bible says. But the Bible says if you're not weak and feeble, God can't strengthen you because you are right. Those of you that didn't raise your hand, you must be all right or very convicted right now. I'll take the latter. Amen. When we're weak and feeble, God gives us strength. Who would you rather have, your own strength or God's strength? Imagine going up, but maybe against Moose, one of the biggest baddies in the room. And you're going to, I'm probably one of them guys too anyway, but anyway, come test me. And you're going to do an arm wrestling, right? You want to go up against that big old arm of Moose with your little feeble arm, or would you rather step in with God's arm? I'll take God's arm all day. Because guess what? It's a guaranteed victory. In Titus 1:2, you can write this down. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. The only part I wanted you to catch there is that God cannot lie. So if God cannot lie, everything we've read this morning is a promise. It's something that we can take to the bank and know it will cash because he said so. You know, we serve a powerful God who is for us and not against us. He is a God who wants to see us. He wants to see us do his will. He wants to tell us his next plan for us. But guess what he's doing right now? He's working on your next step for you. Right now. Right now, he is behind the scenes where no one can see him, and he's moving things around to get you where he wants you to be. Can you stay still patiently and trust in God and wait for that step? That's the challenge right there. And that is all something that we need to focus on. You know, as we close this morning, we need to remember that God is constantly preparing us for our next step. We need to wait patiently on him. And we need to go in the strength that we have right now. If we do that, we're going to be right where God wants us to be today. Amen.
All right. Quick announcement. So those interested in being a part of the Christmas production, actors, singers, band, please meet in the band room after service at 12:20 for a brief meeting. Let's pray. Father, God, you are preparing your people. You're preparing each and every one of us to be conformed into the image of Christ. And God, when we look back on our lives, we can see it so clearly. But in the moment, we forget sometimes that you are working in each and every situation. And Father, I pray that we're not fretting and worrying about the future to come, but we see the promises in your scripture, and we hold to those. And we hold to the fact that Jesus promises to raise us from the dead on the last day, God, is the number one promise, the number one motivation with the cross and the resurrection, God. And Father, let us be motivated and keep going because of that, that he's promised us so many things that are unfathomable in this life. Now, let us dwell on them and wait patiently for him. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.